When you look up at the night sky, it can tell you stuff about your future. It won't lie to you. It's pure that way. You might see a lot more than you wanted. But if you have heart, you have hope. And you have heart in you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my best everything, Joe.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Everything, Joe.
Everything?
Every single thing.
Oh, wow. I don't know how I feel about that.
I hope you feel good about it.
I really do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because I mean it.
I know you do.
From the bottom to the top.
Of your heart?
Yeah.
Nice.
The tippy top. You know what today is?
Today is new movie release day.
That means good. We're doing before and after reviews where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after, spoiler free. Sometimes we'll say no, but you know what? It's spoiler free.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give our instant thoughts before and after. And right now, we're thinking about what we're seeing tonight, and we are seeing The Life of Chuck by one of my favorite directors right now working, Mike Flanagan.
And mine.
Yeah, he is, to me, does no wrong. Yeah. I do not know if he has done me wrong. TV, movie, I can't think of anything.
No, he hasn't done us wrong.
I can't think of it. And you know what's funny is some people just seem to don't know who he is. His movies never get the advertising or recognition that they deserve.
Yeah, that's true.
He has been on a long line of making Stephen King movies, and this movie is based off a Stephen King short story, which is a good thing, because when he writes short stories, it's always the best.
Yeah, and this has got a great freaking cast.
Yeah, it's an amazing cast.
Some of my favorite people are in this.
Yeah, he's usually uses his regulars, but he's got a bunch of people I don't think he's worked with before.
Right.
So that's awesome. And I would say that this is an unusual one for Mike Flanagan because it's not a horror movie.
That's true. Yeah, it's not.
This is Mike Flanagan going in a different direction, and I'm intrigued to see what that'll be.
Yeah. You know, and also, this is off topic. It has nothing to do with anything, but this contains, what, three people from the MCU? Three.
Does it?
Yes, it does. We got Karen Gillan, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Tom Hiddleston, and maybe one more.
Well, we also have the Joker, Joe, from DC.
Oh, well, yeah, you had to throw that in there. That's right. We have Mark Hamill. We have two. David Dalmatian.
Ah.
Dalmatian. Dalmatian.
Polka dot man.
Yes, thank you. I can't ever say his name. I sound terrible when I try and say it. But yeah. And also, we have one of my favorite people on Earth.
Isn't that like Das Machin?
I have to look. I said it totally wrong. But anyway.
I could have too, believe me. I usually do.
We have one of my favorite people is in this movie. His name is Matthew Lillard. Love Matthew Lillard.
I didn't know. This is one of those rare movies that I have been waiting to see for a very long time. And it had like it's a premieres in film festivals and stuff like that. And it's finally out. And so, but what I noticed about it was not a single trailer.
No.
Like we go to the movies a lot. And we see a lot of trailers, and when we go to these indie movies, we expect to see trailers for these movies like this. Not once.
Yeah, not once.
Weird.
I didn't even know half these people were in it. Like, Mia Sara's in this.
She actually came out of retirement.
Peterson.
Yeah, she came out of retirement to do this movie.
Yeah, since 2013. This is, yeah. She did this since 2013. She hasn't acted.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know her from Ferris Bueller, Legend. She's an 80s queen. You know, I know the 80s. But
she played Harley Quinn once. How about that?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, on a settle TV down. Show called Birds of Prey,
of
Joe.
Of course you know this. Just settle down. All right. Just stifle yourself.
So we have the Joker, the Trickster. Huh?
Ah.
That's a deep cut. Do you know that?
Damn.
Mark Hamill played the Trickster on the Barry Allen Flash TV show.
Okay.
Not the CW. Well, he did. Actually, he crossed over. I think he played him on there, too.
No, you just get a hold of yourself.
Okay? No, I can't. Once you get me going, I can't be stopped.
Well, you know who else is in this? Jacob Tremblay. He was in Room.
He was in Dr. Sleep, wasn't he?
Yes, and he's also in the Harley Quinn cartoon. He does the voice of Robin.
God, Joe, you're getting me started again.
I know. That's it.
I thought all you wanted me to stop.
That's all you get. That's the end of it. We're sick of it.
You know, Flanagan, what I love about Mike Flanagan is that he has done a bunch of Stephen King now, but to me, he nails it.
Mm-hmm.
Like really every good time. At
it. Yeah.
He also dived into Netflix TV. He had a bunch of miniseries that were all brilliant. The last being Midnight Mass.
Yep.
And he finally left Netflix. I think that the partnership was over. He moved to Amazon. And there's a couple like rumored things going on with him. And one of those rumored things is that he bought the rights to the Dark Tower series, which people have long wanted the Dark Tower series to be given a really good anything, mm-hmm. honestly, anything. And that's been in production hell for years. I mean, Ron Howard finally released like a movie once, but they all wanted to do TV shows and miniseries, and they never got picked up. So he's still kind of fighting to do that. And I would love to see that. And once I heard he was doing a serious Stephen King story, it reminded me a lot of Shawshank Redemption and saying, oh, you know, when Stephen King writes good, like happy tales instead of your usual horror movies, he produces some really great stuff. The Green Mile, The Stand. You know, and
Green Mile was a tearjerker, though.
That's,
you know,
I think Shawshank Redemption is too.
Oh, Shawshank gets me every time. I still cry.
Stand By Me is too. It's teary. I think those were all emotional movies. That was my point. So this movie might be exactly that. And I'm kind of excited to see it because I also love the idea that a horror director is like, let me step out of my genre and show that I can do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so I'm really hoping for that.
Yeah. He's Mike Flanagan. You know, we almost met Mike Flanagan, but he had to cancel his appearance.
Let's not talk about that.
I know. Oh, God damn it. I really. Okay. One
That's
day.
A deep wound.
One day we will meet Mike Flanagan. Yeah. But.
I throw in the towel meeting Mr. Flanagan. And no. I told you I didn't really want to meet him anyways because I wouldn't know what to say.
Oh, God. I mean,
wouldn't know what to say because I appreciate his career.
I feel like he would be like a really cool guy. But isn't his wife Kate Siegel in this?
Usually like she's in all his projects.
Or maybe I'm wrong. But I'm excited to see the actors that I named already because I really like all those people very much.
I'm going to backtrack too because before I said his last Netflix show was Midnight Mass and I was completely wrong. It was also The Fall of the House of Usher that was brilliant.
Oh shit, you're right. I didn't even catch that. Yes, Fall totally of the House of up. Usher was so good.
I don't think one of the Netflix miniseries was bad.
No.
And the one that kind of gets the flack of being the middle one is, I think, fantastic. So I have no idea what people were talking about with that one. That was the Bly Manor.
Oh, I love that one, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's, in my eyes, he's just awesome. He's awesome.
When you hear someone say, what is the director right now that's working that is nailing it in the horror, in the horror avenue, I always go, Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had something spoiled for me and I just got like totally stifled.
Why are you reading stuff?
I'm not. I'm looking at the freaking cast and I noticed that Heather Langenkamp is in this. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
I know she was in it, yeah.
We met her. She's very nice. Anyway.
I was making a point and you were not paying attention.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm putting my phone down.
How dare you? This is a serious podcast, Joe. People listen to this.
They do?
No. But we're here for anybody who does.
You know who listens to this? Beck. Hi, Beck. We love you, Beck, and we appreciate everything about you.
I guarantee she won't listen to this episode. I know. But if she is, thank you, Beck.
Yes, she's going to listen because she's the best. But anyway, so what do you expect out of this? Quit it. Mm, I'm here.
Yeah, demonetize.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so what do you think about this movie? This is probably one that's going to have like a lot of heart. It's a drama. It's about a guy's life,
I'm going large on this one. I'm hoping for an 8.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I'm probably going to have a 7.
Okay.
But I'm hoping for look, we've been seeing a lot of movies recently, which I said I haven't hated a lot of films recently. I've enjoyed a lot of them. I've given out a lot of 7s this year so far. And there's only been like here and there we go, 6. I think there's only been some rare 5s and 4s or whatever, but 7s have been the average. So I'm hoping finally for someone to step up and go, hey, it's better than you thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, just the synopsis that I've read.
Will you stop?
I'm just saying, no, the synopsis that I read.
Oh, spoiler.
No spoilers, damn it. It's just a synopsis. That this is going to take a deep dive into someone's life where, you know, he experiences every single emotion.
It's going to be the life of Chuck?
Oh, God damn it. I'm just saying it's going to hit your feels is what I'm trying to say. I would smart hope so. Ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go see the movie.
Let's go check it out.
The world, Chuck. Everything you've ever loved. Everything you see. Every year that you live, that world will get bigger and brighter. And more detailed and complex. You fill the whole thing. It'll be a universe. Isn't that wonderful?
All right, so we're back. We just saw the movie, and I was just telling Joe that I love her very much.
He always says, I love you when I do something stupid, silly, funny, or dumb.
I'm pretty sure I say it.
Which a lot of those words mean the same exact thing.
I'm pretty sure I say it for every single thing
you
do. Yeah,
you do.
You know what it is? It's really nice to be loved.
Well, I love you.
You know what? It's a perfect theme to going into the movie because, talking about the movie, because I would say that's pretty much a big part of what the movie is about, which was, interesting. What I like is I didn't know anything about this movie beforehand, so going in completely blind was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because there are 3 acts in this movie, and they're broken down in these out-of-order ways, and the first act is very jarring and different, but very clever of a conversation about what's going on in the world. And it's an interesting dissection of it, but while also being very creative about how people are individually special in their own ways. And the movie's like one interpretation of that, one person. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get that idea of how this one person could be anybody. And how we kind of get their story and the things that have happened to happen to them to shape their lives. And it's so different than a lot of movies I've seen before, in the sense that while doing this, it's telling this really beautiful idea or concept of how, you know, each individual person's special.
Mm-hmm.
That I think this movie is a very creative way of doing that story. I think if this movie feels a little more reminiscent of Black Mirror than it does a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, it's like a it's a positive and a negative. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a weird movie to talk about because I find the overall story and I find the individual ideas very creative, very, very beautiful in its own way. And then I also feel like the movie, it doesn't capitalize on that emotion enough. I there's something missing, something off about how it's done that doesn't connect to the overall theme. At least for me. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Okay. Well, sorry. I found this movie to be beautiful. I liked how they did everything, showing from him being, well, you know, a couple of scenes of him being an adult, and then a lot of the time him being a child. And I really liked the actor playing him as a child. I thought he did great. As far as like a cohesive story, I'm not going to lie. I did, like, you know, I had to ask because I was like a little bit thrown out because I got confused at one point of what's happening with the timeline. But in reality, in our reality as moviegoers, it was just skipping around a lot. And so it kind of got me confused and I missed the point until you had to explain it to me. So I feel like I was kind of like, it kind of took away from me a little bit because I don't feel as if I really fully understood it until you had to explain a little bit to me.
So you agree with me on that there's something missing to make it cohesive.
Yeah. There's that one part, something like one piece is missing to bring this whole package together. Because I mean, individually, if you break it down, like there's a lot of beauty in this movie. There's wonderful actors in this movie. There's a good hearted, happy feeling behind this movie. There's some beautiful scenes, some fun scenes. I smiled a lot. There's a lot of things to smile about in this. But also a lot of questioning, a lot of like, you know, just things that make you think. And things that also like didn't really fit to the plot. Like there's a story here that's kind of like between Chiwetel Ejiofor and Karen Gillan, where we're supposed to feel something there, but I feel like I didn't. There's some feelings that are I have just really mixed feelings about how I felt about how this movie ended up as a whole. But there's a lot of beauty in this movie also.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, thrown about.
I was wondering about this because since the movie is done in an out of order, out of sequence, like act narrative where it's like broken down into three acts and completely out of order, do you think that was working against it or for it? That they did the order in the way they did it.
I think it was working against it because it made me question what was going on. I was fine until we got to a certain part of the movie where I was like, hey, you know, like, wait a minute. Like, what's happening here? It didn't really gel for me. It took me a minute. And then, like I said, I had to ask you.
But so, even after me saying what the movie was kind of about, or what it was saying about its first act and everything like that, do you now look over that first act and see it differently because of how they did it? Or
yeah,
I do. In a positive or negative light?
I feel like it's more negative. I feel like they really, if they're going to change the order of the movie, they should have done that in a better way. I feel like it tosses you around too much. I didn't like that.
It feels strange because that opening does feel like a different movie.
It does.
And there's a part of me that liked that movie and wish it was its own movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I thought they were going somewhere else with the movie, and then it changed to a different type of movie to kind of speak about that first part. And I feel like overall I'm very conflicted on how I feel about that, you know, that overall idea. But wishing that there was two movies here and split into two movies, because I feel like the first act is very fascinating. But that being said, I do find that important in the way that they placed it, because it tells more of the idea of the individual person and like what it means. And it's a smart and clever way to set up like the brain, you know, like the idea of a person and what makes a person special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it's a very clever done way. It's a very clever way of doing the film, but I do feel like it's odd. And I have to point out the one thing to you. Maybe you'll agree with me here. The thing I think made it not work overall for me was a narration.
Yeah, there's a narration which I know that you are not a fan of, but also the fact that I feel like that didn't work, but also the fact that in the first half of the movie, there was a lot of things in there they could have cut out, where if we're going to have we're going to have most of the movie as Chuck as a child, they should have given us just a little bit more of him as an adult. You know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I do know that that was missing too.
There was a lot missing from his life. It's like, okay, so he's a child, then he's a teenager for 5 minutes, and then he's, you know, Tom Hiddleston. I can't say too much, but there was not enough of his adult life that I would like to see how, you know, he touched the lives of people as an adult, you know?
Yeah, especially with the family stuff. But yeah,
right.
What we do get from him is a pretty great sequence.
I mean, we do, yeah. But
it's a great, it also feels a little fake. There's things about it that I'm like, it doesn't feel natural in a weird way. It feels staged in a strange way. And I liked it. I was really smiling and I was enjoying it. But I feel like it definitely was something about it just didn't click as realism. And I think it might be because it's coming off that first act, where the jarring first act kind of sets a tone going forward that it leaves you feeling a little confused.
And I was.
And then when it goes into another type of movie, you can't help with that brain set of like, what the hell?
Right.
And then go into the next act and not expect more of it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when it changes tone, you're like...
It changes the tone, and I was like, wait.
Well, let's go back to this narration now. It's interesting because, again, Nick Offerman...
Yes.
...is, we keep seeing him in everything these days.
We really like him.
I do like him. And the problem is, though, he has a type of style. He has a voice, a style that's very his own.
And I don't feel like that was... That didn't fit here.
Especially since he's not in the movie.
No, he's not in the movie, but we hear his voice as the narrator, and it just didn't fit. It just didn't.
Which makes me think, which made me feel, I guess I should say, that we're another layer going on here. Barry's basically Nick Offerman's narration in this film is of a man reading a book. We're getting the details of a novel.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all of the person's thoughts, the things that led up to this walk or this moment. And that on itself kind of adds another level to it that I think might detract from a lot of the sequences. And I kept thinking, because some of them I did like.
Yeah.
Some of those narrations I liked, but it just felt like, was this added later because they felt like you needed more of explanation for moments? Because I always say that narration detracts from a director feeling like they can't tell a story visually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, okay, we can't tell it visually enough, so let's put a narration here to explain what the viewer need to be know, like to think.
Excuse Bless me. You. Sorry. Bless I you. Tried to hold it.
But yeah, it's like, I feel like that's the only reason to add it. And I was wondering, well, it can't be 3 hours. You know, and so if it was going to be 3 hours and you're forced to trim it down, then you have to stick the narration on it. And I kept thinking, was this that case? Was this a case of him feeling like we have to cut this down a little bit so we'll slap on a narration?
I feel like a lot had to be cut out. I do. Because I feel like he could have easily made a 3-hour movie because a lot of, you know, Chuck's life was missing out of this film. I mean, not a crazy amount, but an amount, you know? So,
and it's weird too because you know, this is not the first time Flanagan's taken a Stephen King idea and turned it into a movie. And shockingly, he's done this very successfully multiple times. Dr. Sleep in itself is a movie that's very big. And he did have to drop some stuff from it. And he did it in a way where he had the hardest job with that film, right? He had to take a novel and then make it a sequel of the movie. So he wanted to pay tribute to the novel purposely and also pay tribute to the movie. Mm-hmm. And it works out very, very well. Here, I'm like, this is the first time I've seen him take one of Stephen King's stories and feel like he needs to make you know it's a book.
You know,
because the narration does make you feel like you're reading a novel with him.
Yeah, like in Stand By Me, when...
That works, though.
I mean, but it's like, but in Stand By Me, when it's Richard Dreyfuss, he was reading, you know, out the whole thing. I felt okay with that.
Because he's telling the life story of himself.
Right, and this is exactly what's happening here, though, except it's not Tom Hiddleston doing it.
Exactly, which makes you think we're on another level.
Exactly.
And I don't know if that reading a novel connects to a movie.
Right.
Because... you can make a meta commentary of the viewer being a part of this equation or this scenario of watching the movie about this thing. But once you add this narration that seems like someone's reading a novel, you're kind of like separated from that experience. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't know if that is what made me feel like this overall has a problem. Mm-hmm. But I will say, though, that it is a very pretty movie. It has a very pretty message. Its overall ideas are really nice. And I felt very good. And I really, really am a sucker for movies that tell people that they are special, that they are interesting, that they are important, that they should live their lives to the fullest, that they need to know that giving up isn't the best scenario, you know, like things like that, which is a big part of this movie in the opening and everything too, saying like, you know, it's all this dread and worry about the end of your life. And it's, you forget about the middle of your life.
Yeah.
And this movie's about celebrating that, celebrating the moments of your life.
Yeah.
And I think that is a great, great message that is very important for everybody to know. And I love a movie that goes out of its way to do that.
Yeah, same. And I'm also going to say just a quick shout out to this little boy, Benjamin Pajak. He did so well in this movie.
Where do we know him from?
Young Chuck. Nothing.
Oh, okay. Because he looks so familiar.
He's just a little boy he's just started his career. He's only done like a handful of things. Nothing that we even know. But,
Well, so the middle version...
That's Jacob Tremblay.
Okay, now I thought this kid was Jacob Tremblay.
No,
he looks so similar to him.
You did mention how he never ages. I'm like, I think he's confused with Jacob Tremblay.
He looked like him.
Yeah, he did. This is great casting.
Yes,
it's really great casting.
It's really smart.
But yeah, overall, I thought this. There's a lot of beauty in this movie. There's a lot, and it was nice to see some of my '80s actors and, you know, come back. And
he loves paying love to his. The people that he grew up with.
Yeah, and I think Mark Hamill did a good job. He was good. But I can't say that this movie's an 8.
No.
It
didn't get there for me, and I was very sad about that. I knew it right after Act 1 ended, and the narration kicked in. I was like, oh, no. Because that first act, I was like, okay, this movie is fascinating. I have no idea what this is now.
Yeah.
And I was that part of it made me very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it kind of threw me for a loop a little bit, but
it did. Yeah. It,
But I, overall, I'm going to give this a 7 because I think it was pretty good filmmaking.
Yeah.
It was good writing overall, except, you know, they could have changed a couple of things around timeline-wise and stuff. But I thought everyone did a great job in this. And it made my heart full in a lot of ways, like watching some of these scenes and stuff. So I'm giving it a 7.
Yeah, I am too. There was not, when I complain about like the overall idea of it, it's just like, my big complaint is what knocks a movie down from greatness.
Right.
And I have to point out these things that made the movie feel a little separated from emotion in a way where we needed it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really hoping for a movie that just gutted me. Mm-hmm. Like, just got me emotional. And I will say there was a couple sequences where I was like, you know, that's beautiful. Yeah. That I love this moment. I'm on board. I mean, well, unfortunately, we had no one else in the theater with us, of course.
Yeah.
But I was talking out loud a few times.
Yeah.
Where I was like, come on, kid.
Yeah.
You know? And any movie that can draw me in to make me want to talk out loud already is doing what it needs to do. It's making me emotionally invested.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a home run in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that overall, it doesn't reach that greatness level because of certain things. Detractors. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, 100%. It wasn't perfect. But, yeah. You know, Flanagan, he still does no wrong in our eyes. He still does a good job.
Can we talk about how he loves putting himself in his movies as a goofy moment?
I know, it's cute.
He did it again here, and it was like awkward again. He just always puts himself it's in an awkward cute. Moment.
I mean, we only saw him for like half a millisecond, and you blink and you miss him.
I knew it instantly. I was laughing. I was like, oh,
he's Hitchcock.
Yeah, everybody does it, you know.
Tarantino does it too. Come
everybody
on.
Everybody does it.
Come on, don't even talk to me about Shama Ding Dong.
I just love that it's not flattering every time.
No.
In this, with him.
Because I don't think he cares, you know? The other ones are trying to glorify themselves, yeah. You know? You know, but he's just doing it as a goof.
Anyway. At least we didn't have Stephen King show up.
Yeah, no, we didn't have Stephen
King. And him say, sugar bumps, this ATM just called me an asshole.
And that's what we got for you.
Okay, all right, so we're saying 7. We yeah. We enjoyed it enough.
I mean, I would say go see it because you have to support Flanagan. He's great.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, you just know it, you know? It's like,
yeah, go support Flanagan.
All right, then. All right, until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening, as always, and we'll see you on the flip.